John chapter number 3, if you would, please. John chapter 3. I told Sister Brenda, I think, we were going to begin reading at verse 17. Told Miss Jeanette the same thing, but then I got to studying after I texted them that information and said, why on earth? I just got to read John 3:16 again. So we'll read John 3:16 through verse 21. We are in a study. We took a break for Christmas, took a break last week for the observance of communion, but we are in a study of the Gospel of John, verse by verse, little by little, making our way through this book. The series is that you may believe. John says very clearly in John 20, I've written these things. And you see these banner signs on either side of the church. I've written these things unto you that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life through His name. I'm going to, and I know this sort of throws some of us for a loop, I'm going to say and suggest, for those of you who are holding a red letter Bible, that this is actually, I think it is John writing rather than Jesus speaking. But as one brother said, it doesn't ultimately matter because it's the Word of God either way. But I do think, and some of the language that we'll look at again today is very Johannian, very much like John. But whether it is Jesus speaking with Nicodemus or John recording some of the truths the Spirit would have him write for us, either way, there is a great lesson to be learned here, all right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him, that is on Christ, the Son that was sent, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were and are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Today, a very simple title for you, Believers and Unbelievers. Believers or Unbelievers. This world and this world system in which we live does a very good job of dividing people, dividing us. Why that is done, and I believe intentionally so, is a matter for another time. But just think of how we are taught not to see similarities, but taught to see the differences that exist among others. We're constantly being told to take note of skin color or gender or gender neutral. We're taught to focus on political affiliation, to look, think much on people's varied ethnic backgrounds, the assorted levels of education that exist. We're even taught to make a difference, note a difference in the types of personalities that people have. But what I want to submit to you today is this. In truth, regardless of what this world presses into our mind, in truth, there are only two kinds of people on the planet. Believers and unbelievers. And that's all. And the Christian, above all others, should look beyond the supposed differences our society impresses upon us and not see white or black, or rich or poor, or conservative or liberal, or even American or not. The Christian's primary observation should be given to, is this person saved or is this person lost? Everyone falls into one of those two categories. You are either forgiven by God or you are unforgiven. All humanity is either condemned or not condemned. This entire planet, every person on it, is either Christian or not. Everyone is either born again or they are dead in their trespasses and in sins. And then, friend, if you are a confessing Christian, and this is not the first thing you think when you see someone, if you're not thinking about their spiritual condition, their status before God, and if that is not your primary concern, then something is skewed with your Christian worldview. John and Jesus would have us focus on this singular truth. All humanity can be summarized as either believers or unbelievers. Now, we're going to say some very bold and somewhat harsh things this morning, but no more clear than what the text is. The difference between the believer and the unbeliever is far more significant and vastly more important than any other distinction that we make. The disparity between a believer and an unbeliever is far, infinitely greater than how much melanin someone has in their skin, or how much education they have, or what their political affiliation is, or how they vote, or where they're from. Men and women are either followers of Christ or they are not. And confessing Christian, that should be your primary concern. To put it plainly, when it comes to relationship, there is no in between with God. There is no middle ground. Listen to this. You are either with Him or you are against Him. There is no middle ground. Now that may seem harsh, but that is the very words of Jesus Himself. You are either with me or you are against me. And Christians should think and see people this way first and foremost. Are those people you work with, those people that you go and fellowship with, hang with, shop with, travel with, your own family, listen, they are either justified by God or they are condemned by God. And there's nothing in between. There is no other option, no other category. All people, your family, your friends and mine, they have either come to the light or they have rejected the light. All people have either been forgiven of their sins and have been born from above, or they have not been forgiven and face eternal separation from God's good grace. What we will learn, what we should learn in this text, is that everyone on planet Earth is either a believer or an unbeliever. The question then is this: which are you? Which are you? These things have I written unto you, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you could have life through his name. Today, I want to ask, are you a believer and a follower of the Lord Christ? Or are you an unbeliever and walk in darkness? Now you say, preacher, I don't like those two categories. I think it is too limited. I think it is too restrictive. I think it is too narrow. Well, take it up with the book. Take it up with God. He wrote it, not me. I'm just trying to deliver the mail. Whether men suppress this truth, whether or not they reject this truth or deny this truth, it is the truth nonetheless. You are either with him or you are against him. My goal in this message today is twofold. One, for believers to praise God for the deliverance that has been given to them by the light of the world, who is Jesus. And then number two, for unbelievers to face the harsh reality that they stand condemned before God, and if they do not turn from their sin and find forgiving grace, they will be eternally separated from the goodness of God. Friend, God loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world, listen, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I want you to notice with me six truths from these verses about believers and unbelievers. And we're actually going to take this 18th verse. We've preached 16 and 17 prior. We're going to take this 18th verse, and I want to divide it into three separate points. First, the beginning of verse number 18. Point number one, the believer is not condemned. What are some truths about believers and unbelievers? Number one, the believer is not condemned. Notice verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. If you're somebody who highlights things in your Bible, notice that word believe and its derivative there in verse 18. It's used three times there in that one verse. That might tell us John has got something to say about belief and unbelief. He that believes on him, that is on Christ, and that goes right back to the one that God sent. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And whoever believes on him, the only Son, the one and unique Son, whoever believes on him is not condemned. Christian, you should find great delight in this truth today. Your heart should feel and be swelled with joy. As a believer, I am not condemned. You ought to just swell up, bubbling over. There is therefore now no condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1. To those who are in Christ. That word condemned means simply to be judged as guilty. Listen, those who believe, and that word belief carries the idea of trust, faith, reliance. Those who have believed on Christ, that he is who he said he was, that he did what he said he would do, that he was the eternal Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died a substitutionary death, was buried and rise again. For those that believe that Christ not only did that, but that he did that for me, those that believe on him, they are not condemned. God has judged them not guilty because of Christ. Christian, give God praise. It is by his grace that you are not condemned. not what John is writing or Jesus is telling Nicodemus, however you want to cipher that. Not just some, this idea of belief is not just an intellectual assent to some basic Bible truths. Nicodemus had that. And Jesus said, you need to be born from above. But you must have faith in who Christ is and what he has done for you. You need to know, and this is a great word for you to know. It's not mentioned here, but it is implied here that John is teaching us about justification. To be justified means to be declared innocent. So all people are either justified or condemned. Just think about it that simply. To be justified is to be declared righteous. To be condemned is to be declared unrighteous. To be justified is to be declared innocent. God sees us in his Son who atoned for our sins, and we are as though we had not sinned. He has declared us righteous because our faith in Christ gives to us, imputes to us his righteousness. But those who are not believers are declared guilty. The good news that we find in the first part of this verse is the believer is not condemned. And listen, not now, Christian, not ever. Not now, not ever. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. Secondly, we can see that the unbeliever is condemned already. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but the second or part B to that verse, but he that believes not is condemned already. I really would like for those words to sink in. Today, right this very moment, if you sit here and you are not a Christian, you are already condemned before God. You are guilty before God. He has declared you unrighteous, unholy, unfit for his heaven. Don't sit here and think, well, that may happen one day. One day God may condemn me. Listen to what the writer says. You are already condemned. If you are not a believer and you have not embraced Christ, it is true that you will stand before God in judgment one day. But listen to what this text says. You are condemned already. This is not only what will happen if you do not repent. This is what has already happened. Right here, right now, if you are not a Christian, you stand condemned before holy God. And if you are not a Christian, that should make you quiver in your shoes. Listen to this. God did not send his Son to condemn the world. You see that in verse 17? God didn't send his Son to condemn the world. You ready? The world was already condemned. God didn't have to send his Son to the world to condemn the world. The world, and that is the people on the world, are already condemned. But God sent his Son into the world not to condemn. The world's already condemned, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the beauty. That's what makes John 3:16, John 3:16. That God loved the world so much that he gave his son for those who are condemned, that they would not be condemned but justified. You need to understand this. If you are not a Christian, if you are not a true believer, you are not only are you not in a positive position with God, you're not. If you're not a Christian, you're not in a positive position with God, but listen, you're not even in a neutral position with God. You're in a negative standing with God. You're condemned already. There is no middle ground. You are condemned. You may be moral. You may be religious. And you may strive to do what is right. But so did Nicodemus. Right here in this same chapter, so did Nicodemus. He was moral. He was religious. And he strived to do what was right as he understood it. And Jesus said, you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. Nicodemus, listen. You are condemned already. And if you are here and you're not a Christian, you are condemned already. And unless and until God's grace intercepts your life and gives you repentance and faith, you will remain condemned. Until you stand before him one day and he passes ultimate judgment. John 3:36. Look at the close of this chapter. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son has, that's present tense, already has everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides. That's present tense. Already the wrath of God abides on him. We want to fabricate some middle ground, some third option, but it doesn't exist. God himself has determined you are either with me or you are against me. And if you're not a Christian, God, listen to this, God has already condemned you as faithless. Faithless. Third, we're told the reason why the unbeliever is condemned. The reason. The last part of verse 18. Because. That's a great word to think of. Here is why. The unbeliever is condemned already because he has not, you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here's why. Why is it? And you can make a long list. You say this person is an adulterer, they're a liar, they're a murderer, they're all of those things. And it may be true. But the primary and ultimate reason why they stand condemned is because they haven't found forgiveness of those sins in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you have not believed in the name of and who he is and what he has done. Here's why. Because you simply have not believed the record that God has given of his Son. You've not trusted him, you've not received him, you've not turned from your sin and embraced him. You do not know saving grace. You do not know Christ. Listen to me, my unbelieving friend. You don't have to do anything different than what you're doing to die and go to hell. All you have to do is just keep doing what you're doing. And your unbelief in who Jesus is will land you in an eternity of misery and suffering apart from God. Your unbelief and every unforgiven sin that is attached to it is all that God needs to righteously condemn you forever. I'm going to ask you, we don't do much of this, but we need to do this. 1 John chapter number 5, all the way towards the end of your Bible, to the little Johns, the little books that John has written. Same John, 1 John in chapter number 5. I want you to read this with me. This is a cross reference. It simply backs up, reinforces what is said to us in John 3. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he has not believed, or believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now just stop right there. The person who is a believer has embraced the record, the witness, the account that God has given of his Son. That is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the gospel account, the records of what Jesus has done. Here he is saying the believer has received this witness. Contrast that with the unbeliever. That, listen, quote, has made God a liar. You're saying that's not true because you do not believe the record that God gave of his Son. Your unbelief is an accusation against the honesty of God, that what God has said isn't true. Your unbelief is not some minor infraction. It is an accusation against the very holiness and person of God. Verse 11, 1 John 5, 11. And this is the record. This is the testimony. This is the witness that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The unbeliever is condemned already. Why? Just because you haven't believed what God has said about his Son. You say, well, that doesn't seem like a big thing. It is a big thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. The reason why people around us are condemned, the reason why your coworkers, family, friends, and other ones, the reason why they're condemned is because they have not believed the gospel. And those who have not believed the gospel stand condemned. Number four, God's assessment of unbelievers. From verse 19. This is God's assessment. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. This is God's accurate assessment of unbelievers. And the truth is, it is accurate of us before our conversion, before we were saved. Again, if you're somebody who notes things in your Bible, note the word light, verses 19, 20, and 21. That word light carries the idea of a moral compass, that which is right and good and true. But more than that, that word light is not just symbolic of light. It is the very person of Jesus. He is the light of the world. And this, verse 19, this is the condemnation. Understand it like this. This is God's judgment of humanity. This is God's evaluation. This is God's determination. His assessment of unbelievers is this. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. There's this preacher, pastor that I like to follow. He's got a lot of really good YouTube videos. In fact, I spent a little too much time yesterday watching some of those. He's a pastor, but he goes to college campuses and he debates with whoever, whether it's a professor or a student. And he's what you would call an apologist. And that word doesn't mean what it sounds like. It means he defends the Christian faith. Okay? And I don't agree with everything that he says, but he's been doing this so long that he is really, really good at answering those hard questions that Christians get asked. And you understand, he's on college campuses where many of these kids are being taught Antichrist, theology, really, or teaching. And he has said this, and this has really stuck with me. He said, and this is so pertinent to our message, but it's very revealing as well. He said this. He said, I often ask people when I'm on a campus, he said, I will ask them, if I can prove to you that the Bible is a reliable historical document of real life events, and that Jesus is who he claimed to be, lived a perfect life, died and rose again. If I can prove that to you, will you become a Christian? And he says, overwhelmingly, the answer is no. And he says, because you see, it's not an intellectual problem. It's a spiritual problem. The problem is that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That is the true judgment of God. God says, here's the condemnation. I sent light into the world and the world crucified and killed the light. Why? Because they love darkness. They love darkness more than they love light. And they do so because their actions, thoughts, words, and behavior, the word is deeds here, their deeds are evil. This is what we call the doctrine of total depravity. That men are enveloped by the darkness of sin. And even when light appears, they scurry from it like nocturnal animals, hiding from the light rather than embracing it. Listen, people can offer all the excuses they want to as to why they will not become a Christian. They say, well, I don't understand how God could exist when all these bad things in the world happen. And, there's some legitimacy to some of these questions. But ultimately, I want you to hear me. Regardless of what excuses that people offer, the truth about it is, you want to know why people don't become believers? They don't want to. They just don't want to. Because they love darkness more than they love light. Because their deeds are evil and they enjoy it. That's the depraved nature of fallen humanity. And that's just what we were before God's grace intercepted us, friends. And just so you know, if it wasn't for God's grace, we'd still be right there among them, drinking iniquity like water. The real reason why folks who will hear a message like this and don't become Christian is simple. They love darkness. They love darkness. They don't want to change. They don't want to give up their sin. Sure, they want heaven when they die, but they would be perfectly content if there was no God in it. I really like what John Piper said. He said, people who would be happy in heaven if God weren't there aren't headed there. We witness, we preach, we plead, we warn, we go to funerals, death is coming, it is undeniable, and still men sit unmoved. Why? Because they would rather have their sin than they would have the Savior. Because they would rather enjoy the pleasures of wickedness for a moment than to find true forgiveness. This is the condemnation. This is God's assessment. This is not Lewis. This is not my judgment. This is God's accurate assessment of humanity, that light has come into the world. And what did lost men do? They crucified and killed the light of the world. Fifthly, what is the unbeliever's real issue? Verse 20. What is the unbeliever's real issue? For everyone that doeth evil. Now, I told you I was going to say some harsh things, but no harsher than the text. What does it say? What does it say about the unbeliever? They hate the light. I said, preacher, now you're getting awful mean. I'm just reading the text. Everyone that doeth evil, that is the unbeliever who has not found forgiveness. This is not saying that you and I can't still fall into sin as Christians. We can. But our deeds, we'll talk about that in verse 21, our deeds have been forgiven and been wrought in God. But everyone, the unbeliever, what's the real issue? They hate the light. They hate the light. Neither will they come to the light. Listen to this. Lest their deeds be exposed. That's what that word means. King James is reproved, but it just simply means to be made manifest, to be exposed. I hate to use this analogy because I hate to be overly critical. I don't want to be perceived as such. Again, if it weren't for God's grace, all of us who are believers would still be unbelievers, okay? But what happens, and you live down here in Georgia, I'm sure you're familiar with this. I hate a roach. I hate a roach. Give me 10 spiders over one roach. You understand? I hate a roach. But even in my brand new house, I can go out to my garage, and when I flip that light on, I see the occasional roach scurry. Why? Because they hate the light. They don't want to be seen or caught in the light. They try to find somewhere to hide. And the real issue with sinners is they hate the light. They scurry from it. They don't want their deeds to be exposed by the light. That's why when Jesus came and lived a perfect, righteous, and sinless life, one of the reasons they crucified him was his light made them guilty. It revealed the darkness that was in them. If I had not come, you wouldn't have known sin. But since I'm here, I can't preach John, the later part of John yet. But Jesus is saying, the reason why you can't hide anymore is because light has come. And it has revealed the darkness inside of you. Unbelievers scurry from the light. They speak evil of the light. They ridicule the light. Unbelievers mock Christians, Christianity, and the church. But ultimately, you know what they're after? Ridiculing Christ. They hate the light. The close of this verse says, lest their deeds should be reproved, exposed, or lest their behavior be made known. And if there is any shame or embarrassment left for sin, it be made known. Do you understand what I just said by that? It's almost like you can do anything you want in this world, at least in America, that you can do anything you want to want. There's no guilt. There's no shame attached to it. But there is and will be. I want to share something that John Stott said in his commentary. John Stott said, tragically, in an astonishing act of self-destruction, multitudes refuse the light and continue to embrace the darkness. Now contrast that. Believers are willing to open their lives to God's scrutiny, to come to the light. I am guilty. I have done these things. My deeds are evil. They are wrong. But I'm bringing that to you, God, and asking you to forgive me of it. I'm bringing my ugliness and my darkness. I'm bringing it to the light and asking you to wash me and cleanse me of it. Stott says this is a painful but a necessary preliminary step to finding salvation. Bring your ugliness to Jesus. Your deeds, your thoughts, your wickedness, your sins, bring them to Him and He will forgive you. For God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So, don't hate the light. Don't flee from the light. God already knows everything about you. Bring your ugliness to Him and find forgiveness. Confess your faults. Own it before Him. And He will forgive you. That leads me sixthly. Final point. The believer's goodness is actually produced by God. The believer's goodness is produced by God. Verse 21, but, here's the contrast, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. Do you see that? Brought to him, made known, exposed. I own it. It's mine. And I bring it to you. All of my ugliness. I'd be embarrassed to even tell you some of the thoughts that go through my mind when I'm standing right up here in front of you. Maybe some of you even sitting there, your thoughts that wonder and twist and sick and all that we are, bring it to Him. Listen, bring your deeds that they may be manifest and be forgiven as an act of God. Listen, there's a contrast. Those who do truth, those who come to the light, those who have been saved, they have come to Christ and found forgiveness of all their rotten deeds. And all of our good deeds, our good efforts, goodness, and that includes repentance and faith, are done in and through God. So see the contrast. See the contrast between the believer and the unbeliever. The believer loves and obeys truth. The unbeliever loves falsehood. The believer has come to the light. The unbeliever has rejected the light. the believer has had his or her deeds forgiven. And this act of forgiveness and now even our service have been done by God's Spirit. But the unbeliever remains in unforgiveness, and only their evil deeds hang over them. What good we do, the close of verse 21, that wrought in God means that God has done in us and through us. Let me put it to you like this. Salvation is the gift of God. Our good is produced by God. Believers do truth. That is, obey, embrace, and promote truth. Believers do truth because of God. We came to the light because of God. Our good deeds are wrought by the Spirit of God. In other words, if you are a believer and not an unbeliever, then all the glory belongs to God. That's what John is saying. My dear friends, this world and this world system and the political power seek to divide us into dozens and dozens of differing categories. The spiritual-minded Christian looks beyond all of those superficial distinctions and notices you are either a believer or you are an unbeliever. And that's what they care about. You know, I care how people vote, and so should you. I care that people stand for life, and so should you. I care about elections, and I care about the ugliness of racism, but you know what people need more than they need to get in the right political party? They need Jesus. That should be, rather than trying to straighten out their political platform, we need to promote Jesus or whatever else that it is. John or Jesus, whoever this is that is writing, speaking, whatever that it is, whether it is John recording Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus or this is John writing under inspiration, whichever, wants us to see this. There are two kinds of people in the world. Believers and unbelievers. And he says, here's the difference in them. You look at it. So which are you? Which are you? The writing here is calling for a verdict. And so am I. I'm calling for a verdict. You are either a light-loving, darkness-rejecting, good-deed-doing believer, or you are a light-rejecting, darkness-loving, evil-deed-doing unbeliever. Which is it? There are no spiritual undecideds. You are either with Christ or you are against Him. Do you believe God's record of His Son? Have you embraced Him? Have you come to the light? Have your deeds been made manifest and you found forgiveness wrought by God? If so, Christian friend, rejoice. You are not condemned. Not now, not ever. If you're an unbeliever, you're condemned already because you have not believed what God has said that He has done in and through His Son. This condemnation, may I say it like this, this current condemnation that abides on every unbeliever will lead to eternal condemnation and eternal separation come judgment day. Unless, and here's the good news, unless you flee to Christ and His Spirit will bring good works in you, produce good works in you. We opened this morning by singing a song very much on purpose. The light of the world. The song begins, "The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. But I've got good news. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. 'Tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon thee. Can you sing and say, once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Are you a believer or are you an unbeliever? Why will you perish?